This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, October 24th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Cal OSHA to revisit driverless tractor ban. Dodging the bird flu bullet. Floodplain restoration MOU at Vilsack stumps for Democratic ticket. Cal OSHA board to reconsider tractor ban. Cal OSHA's governing board gearing up to reconsider its ban on autonomous tractors. It plans to have a robust discussion on the issue at its November meeting to tee up a potential regulatory proposal. Under a new chair and a new executive officer, the board hosted the Department of Pesticide Regulation last month to discuss its approach to working with industry on emerging ag tech products. This month, the Department of Motor Vehicles presented on its efforts to collaborate with manufacturers on driverless cars, securing more than 9 million miles of testing. The DMV had submitted a petition to the board in the initiative in 2018. It's the same year farm groups first asked the board to consider its 1970s era ban on furrow guided tomato harvesters. With extensive public backlash over robo-taxis in San Francisco, ag interests were quick to point out the comparatively tame aspects of tractors. Brian Little of the California Farm Bureau called it a difference of light years since tractors travel at just 5 miles an hour with few, if any, bystanders compared to cars going 65 miles an hour on highways. Michael Miller of the California Association of Wine Grape Growers lamented that the state is behind the curve on ag tech automation. Cal Chambers' Rob Moultrie added that, quote, other nations, other states, and other regulatory sectors are all ahead here. Now keep in mind, Cal OSHA has recorded no incidents in a multi-year trial of Monarch's driverless tractor, though testing fields have been devoid of people. Ross, bird flu could have been much worse. CDFA Secretary Karen Ross had anticipated that extensive testing would lead to more cases of bird flu at dairies. The latest tally is 131 dairies and rising, with the outbreak concentrated in the southern San Joaquin Valley. In her monthly update to the State Food and Ag Board this week, Ross said officials have been testing livestock within a 6-mile radius of any positive detections. She emphasized that the number of cases is small compared to the total industry, which encompasses more than 1,000 farms and about 1.7 million cows. Colorado's dairy industry, meanwhile, has been crippled by a 68% positivity rate. CDFA is working closely with USDA, FDA, and the Governor's Office of Emergency Service and the White House Office of Pandemic Preparedness and Response Policy, which is eyeing the potential for human-to-human transmissions. Ross, in her 13th year as Secretary, noted that she also, quote, has been through a few battles together with state veterinarian Annette Jones, who has logged more than 2 decades at the department. Agencies are hosting a large outreach event next week, encouraging dairy workers to use personal protective equipment. Now take note, 4 poultry workers in Washington tested positive for bird flu this week. Ross said the detections lined up with the fall migration season along the Pacific Flyway, when wild birds tend to spread viruses among domestic flocks. California and federal agencies signed MOU for Sacramento floodplains. Leaders across federal and state agencies gathered yesterday to announce a memorandum of understanding to develop a framework for restoring the Sacramento River Basin. CDFA Secretary Karen Ross joined leaders from the California Department of Water Resources, USDA, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, and others to sign on the dotted line. Floodplain Forward, a coalition representing landowners, irrigation districts, higher ed, and conservation groups, expressed their support for the MOU and intention to collaborate. California Natural Resources Agency Secretary Wade Crowfoot says he hopes the MOU will engage the state in recognizing how essential California's floodplain are to water supply and groundwater recharge. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. DPR schedules hearings for 1-3D regulations. In partnership with the Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment, the Department of Pesticide Regulation announced a series of hearings related to a new 1,3-dichlorophene regulation. While the regulatory text will be released later this year, DPR's goal is to reduce potential exposure to 1,3-D for occupational bystanders. The upcoming hearings are scheduled throughout January 2025 in Visalia, Salinas, and Chico. One on January 10th is listed as virtual. The hearings come after a Journal of Exposure Science and Environmental Epidemiology report in September found elevated levels of 1,3-D and other pesticides in a quarter of their test subjects who carried monitors around their San Joaquin Valley communities. Vilsack bashes Trump tariffs in a podcast interview. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack is going after Donald Trump in a podcast aimed at rural residents, specifically pointing to Trump's plan to impose across-the-board tariffs. You can't raise the cost of living, as the Trump administration is proposing, by anywhere from $2,500 to $4,000 for family and expect that to be beneficial to rural families. It's just not the case, Vilsack tells Missouri Democratic organizer Jess Piper, executive director of Blue Missouri, on her podcast. I think it's really, really important for folks to understand the contrast and the comparison when you talk about building an economy, investing in things like ambulances, and then you've got Trump talking about tariffs that economists will tell you will raise prices. Raise prices across the board. No question about it. Raise prices. And the people who will pay the most, unfortunately, are the people in rural places. Vilsack, who's stumping for Vice President Kamala Harris in his personal capacity, also cites her rural agenda, which calls for hiring 10,000 new rural healthcare professionals and investing in U.S. agriculture by boosting access to credit, land, and markets, he said. The key here, I think, is to make sure there's an understanding of the importance of rural places and the need for investment in rural places, he said, and candidly, that has not always been the case. By the way, Trump's former U.S. Trade Representative Bob Lighthizer wrote a letter to the editor of the Wall Street Journal defending his view that tariffs contributed to making the U.S. the economic power it became by the early 20th century. During a period when America created the largest economy in the world from the end of the Civil War until 1900, the average tariffs in this country were almost always above 40% on dutiable goods, far higher than they are now, Lighthizer wrote in response to an earlier op-ed. Here's today's final word. Think about the multi-benefits that everyone will enjoy out of this. It's flood protection, which is hugely important. It's resiliency to drought. It's about groundwater recharge. But guess what? It's about healthier ecosystems, and we cannot have healthier farms without healthy ecosystems. That CDFA Secretary Karen Ross during a press conference on the Sacramento River Basin MOU. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, October 24th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Dowling.